And Lord, it is a privilege to give to the spreading of Your gospel. And this morning, Father, we ask that the seed that we plant with our finances, Father, that You would cause the increase and the harvest amongst the people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, mate.
Well, good morning to you all, and well done to all our matrics. I heard so many matrics done so well this year. And repeat after me, you're all champions, yes? Yeah. You know, I heard this twit on the radio. Someone phoned in, and his mom was so proud that her daughter had done so well in the exams. And he said, yeah, but they're so easy, you know, they've lifted all the marks. I thought, but you're in the wrong job. You should be a motivational speaker. I know, I wanted to phone him and tell him, no, the reason the exams are so easy, because that girl learned so hard. You know, it always works like that. The harder you learn, the easier the exams become. But the beginning of a year always means a new start. And Wednesday, it's back to school day. And for many of our children, it's going to be the first year in school. And then for a whole lot of our other kids, it's another year in school. And then for some of our kids, it's final year in school. But the beginning of a year inevitably gets us thinking of the year ahead. And we look over the last year that we've just come through, and we generally extrapolate that forward into what we're going to do in this year. And so we get to this point where we think, well, I didn't do that so well last year, so I'm not going to do that again. And that was a big mistake last year. I'm not going to repeat it this year. And I did that well last year. I'm going to do it again this year. And then that worked well, so I'm going to prove on it this year. So we get this whole list that goes through our minds. And we end up making these resolutions. Don't do that, do that, start that, complete that. And of course, for many of us, me included, we made those resolutions last year. And then as the year went on, we got to some of them, and some of them just seemed to slip away. And you've met some of those people. They've got this shopping list at the beginning of the year. And you meet them in the shop, and they say, you know what I'm going to do this year? And then after 20 minutes, you realize they've only got halfway through their list, and you wish that they hadn't stopped you in the shop. And then what happens is, at the end of that year, they get all depressed because they only got to half the shopping list. But I want to encourage them. I say, listen, you did well. I had 5. I didn't quite get to them all. You had 120. You got to 80. You did well. But what is it with lists? You know, I was browsing in the bookshop this last week, and there on the shelf was this book. And it said, 70 things husbands need to know about their wives. I started chuckling to myself. I said, but you're way off. I've been married for 25 years. I know 250 things about my wife, and I'm still in the dark. But it's this thing about lists, the 10 things to do that, and the 12 things not to do, and the 18 things to improve. And you know that there's lists of books that have lists. And then there's lists of the lists that have books that have lists. And so what is it about lists? And lists can be discouraging, because we always focus on what we didn't do, rather than focusing on what we did do. That's much better. And at home, we've got this to-do list on our fridge. It's Esty's to-do list for me. She sticks it on the fridge. And the reason the to-do list's on the fridge, because she realizes I look at the fridge door more often than anything else when I'm opening the door. And I know you ladies, you must get this lesson. Esty learned it early on in our marriage. She realized that I open the fridge often. And it's this thing with men. We go to the fridge, we open it, we look inside, we close the fridge. We walk away, we come back 5 minutes later, we open the same door, we look at the same stuff, hoping it changed. That's why we open it every 5 minutes. See, Esty realized, here's the thing, if he's always looking at the fridge door, put the to-do list on the fridge door, it means he'll look at it about 100 times a day. Didn't really help, the list is still there from last year. But I'd like to encourage you this morning, is that when we resolve on purpose, we bear fruit. When we resolve on purpose, we'll bear fruit. What do I mean? Well, it's simply this, that don't do things for the sake of doing things. Do them on purpose. Resolve in your heart to do them on purpose. And when you do that, I will guarantee you, you'll get more done at the end of the year. You'll look and say, man, I achieved so much this year. Because we resolved on purpose in our heart. It wouldn't just be a list of, wouldn't that be nice to do? I'd like to do that. I think I want to do that. But I like what it says in the scriptures. It says this, setting our heart and our mind to do something. Our heart and our mind. Setting our heart and our mind speaks about passion, which is our heart, with thought, which is our mind. We need both passion and thought. Our heart and our mind. Many years ago, Esty and I went to Disney World in America. And we'd arrived at about 10 in the morning. We had traveled the whole of the previous night in an aeroplane and taxis. We got into our hotel room, which was on the fifth floor. And I opened our hotel room bedroom windows, and guess what I saw? Magic Kingdom of Disney, one of the theme parks. I could see it from my bedroom window. And so all Esty wanted to do was rest. And I said, no, there's no time for rest. Rest for wussies. We're only here for 10 days. There is Magic Kingdom. Come on, come on, come on. Unpack. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Est was so tired. I said, come on, come on. You can sleep tonight. Don't worry. We had been up for like 18 hours, but there was Magic Kingdom. I'm going. And so off we went. Yeah, I'm dragging Estie into the theme park. And as we get through the gates right before us, down the end of this like boulevard, is this massive roller coaster ride called Space Mountain. I said, babe, that's our first ride. Come on. I'm walking so fast. She's like dragging behind me. So eventually, we get to this ride. And she looks at me. She says, Brad, this looks a little bit hectic. Are you sure it's okay? Now, I was all-knowing, compassionate, and thoughtful. I said, babe, it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. We're in Disney. And so that was passion without thought. Off we go to this ride. Now, something should have twigged in my head because it was a building with no windows and the ride was inside the building. Something should have twigged, but it didn't. And so, Space Mountain is a roller coaster ride completely in the dark. At the end of it, I was so disorientated, I couldn't remember my name. And on the ride, what you do is you sit behind each other. Essie screamed the whole way through the ride. The only reason I knew she was behind me was because she was screaming. And what you do on the ride, you sit behind one another and you go on this roller coaster ride. And Essie was sitting behind me with her arm around my neck, holding on for dear life, because you can't anticipate the turns in the dark. So you don't know when this thing's going to turn, when it's going to go upside down. She was holding so tight, it felt like an anaconda was around my throat. And she was choking me. And so I was screaming, ah, you're choking me. But she couldn't hear because she was screaming so loud. Here's Eric the Viking shouting, you're choking me. Here's his wife choking him and screaming. She doesn't know what he's saying. Throughout the ride. Because it's pitch black, so you don't know what's going on. Now in hindsight, I should have started my babe on float down the river with wind in the willows. That's what I should have done. The Peter Pan ride. Or Winnie the Pooh through the forest. Instead, I go Space Mountain. What was I thinking? Esty got off the ride. She said that. What were you thinking? Now, because I was so disorientated, I just blurted out the first thing that came into my mind. I said, I wasn't thinking. She said, you got that right. Eric the Viking, big heart, no brain. You see, that's setting our heart and our mind on purpose. We've got to have both. This Sunday and next Sunday, I want to speak about setting our heart and our mind on some things this year. Setting our heart and our mind and resolving on purpose. We're going to have a purpose and what we set our hearts and our minds on for this year. And we will see fruit. Not shriveled little raisins. We're going to see massive fruit. And so this morning, I want to speak a little about our children. And all those prophetic words this morning, Esther and I looking at each other thinking, they read your sermon before you even preached. There was a strong prophetic word this morning about our children. and what God's going to do with them this year. I thought my sermon was going to be prophetic this morning. I'm just confirming the prophetic words that have come this morning. That's all I'm doing. But I do believe it's a prophetic word for us. I believe it's significant for this church. It's for our children. What God is going to do with them this year. You see, for children, everything's up in the world. And for parents, everything's down in the world. In life, it's up for kids. Pick me up. I don't want to get up. Let me stay up. Mom, I'll clean up. And for parents, everything's down. Sit down, pop down, settle down, calm down, slow down, put that down. But we unfortunately can also get into thinking that there's limits to the spiritual life of our children. We can think that singing songs and learning about Jonah and the whale is all there is. But that's not true. It's not all. It's important. But it's not all there is. Singing songs and understanding the Bible are important. I remember a song I learnt in Sunday school when I was about 7. I still remember the books of the Bible because of that song. But Jimmy and Michelle and Essie, myself and some leaders, about 7 or 8 weeks ago, went to a children's church conference. And at that conference, they didn't actually teach us much. They really didn't. They had a curriculum. They said, you can buy the curriculum, which we did. But what they did was, is that they began to share about the power of God in a child. And all they did was share their stories. That's all they did. Of what was happening in their church, Bethel Church in America. And you know what? I came away saddened. Because I'd missed so much. And I resolved in my heart and in my mind that this year was going to be different for our children. The reason I was saddened, because as I was watching and listening to these people share on how their children in their children's church had been impacted by the power of God, I realized I'd relegated God to the junior Holy Spirit in our children. And we can do that so easily. There's a junior Holy Spirit for our children. But you see, the truth is, whether you're 5, 25, or 75, the Spirit that dwells within you is the same as the Spirit that dwells within our children. Exactly the same. It says this in Joel 2:28, and we all know it so well. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Here through the prophet Joel, God is telling us of His new covenant. That's what He's doing. God was preparing His people and telling them what His new covenant will bring. And in the new covenant, God's Spirit will be poured out on young and on old. And you and I are in the new covenant. And so are our children. Are in the new covenant. Too often we'll place age as a criteria for intimacy with God, for experiencing the freedom of the gospel, and for experiencing the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. It's not age restricted, because it says in Joel that God would pour out His Spirit on His young and on the old. And so this morning I am doing a punt for Children's Church. But I also want to encourage us about our children. Because I do believe, and it was just confirmed, Wade's word was almost word for word of my sermon, that there's going to be an outpouring upon our children this year in this church. Like never before experienced. We're going to see God's power working within our children. So this year I've set my resolve. I've set my resolve and I've purposed to see God's power, the very same Spirit that is within you and within me, to break out in our children here at Highway. Without hindrances and without preconceptions. We're having a children's church meeting here tomorrow night at Highway. 7 o'clock. For all those that are helping and want to help and are leading and want to lead in children's church. We're going to go through the curriculum for the new year, give people a taste of what's to come. And if you feel a stirring, if you feel a resolve, come tomorrow night. Because our children are not going to be the same children as we had last year. I came away from that conference changed. I came back changed. I thought, well, I'm going to learn a whole lot of things to change children. I came back changed. But I've resolved that this year will not be like last year. And I'm going to purpose in my heart and in my mind that our children are not going to be the same this year as they were last year. The new curriculum goes right from grade 0 to teens. Covers the entire spectrum. And while it's the curriculum will teach and disciple our children in salvation and baptism, gifts of the Holy Spirit, Bible reading, covenant prayer, tithes and offerings, worship, healing, prophetic word, hearing from God. It's far more than teaching. The focus is on solid teaching, but it's accompanied by the supernatural Spirit of God. To us as parents, let me say, be ready to partner with us and with each other for what's going to happen to our children, take place in their lives this year. Don't let Sunday school be the only place they come to experience God, to hear the word that is taught and preached, to learn about and share the love of God, or experience the power of God supernaturally. This is just one of the places that that should happen. But resolve in your heart and purpose to pray. Encourage your children, exhort them as they pursue God this year. Listen to them as they tell you of their encounters with God. And guide them on this journey. As parents, we're going to guide our children this year on this journey as they come to encounter a living God. Well, you might say, well, my children are a lot older, they're married, they're not in children's church anymore, they're out of the home. I want to say this to you, you have so much to give. You have so much to give. Children catch things, and they will catch it from you. When I was young, my first year at school, my mom decided it was far better to get all the children's diseases at once. Mum's chicken pox, you know, the whole trip. So what she would do is, we'd phone around, and when she heard one of my friends had mumps, she'd take me across to go and play. So I'd also get mumps. But there was method in her madness. One year, I had all the diseases. Finished, thank you very much. The fact was, I caught far more than I was taught. This cough is a carryover from my younger years. But the truth is, kids catch a whole lot more than they're taught. And as parents, we have a unique opportunity to sow seeds in our children's lives. As a parent, you have a unique opportunity to sow seeds in the children's lives. And when we sow seed, we should expect a harvest. No one sows seed without expecting a harvest. That would be very silly. When you sow tomatoes, you harvest tomatoes. No one sows spinach and gets wheat. It doesn't work like that. What you sow, you reap. I remember a single mom once coming to Esty and I, and she was perturbed that her young daughter was shouting at her all the time. She said, this kid's out of control. She shouts at me from morning till night. She wakes up, starts shouting, only stops when she goes to sleep. What can I do? So I said, tell me, do you shout at home? She said, yes! I'm an excitable person! I'm not loud, I shout all the time! I said, I'll tell you what, for the next 6 weeks, don't shout. Just talk at home. She said, okay, I'll do that. 6 weeks later, she came back. Brad, it's a miracle. My child's not shouting anymore. I said, fancy that. Because children catch far more than they're taught. But the seeds that we sow will have a harvest. See, not only can we stand on this truth that what you sow, we will harvest. But we don't sow alone. You don't sow seed alone. Sometimes we can become discouraged. I've sown seed after seed after seed after seed. I've seen no harvest. Let me encourage you, persevere. Because what you sow will come to harvest. We end up wearing ourselves out. We're sowing so much, I'm not seeing a harvest. No, keep sowing. The harvest is coming. In our sowing, we're not alone. Our encouragement is that God provides rain for the seeds that we have sown, so that there will be a harvest. Isaiah 30 verse 23. And He will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground. You know that God's also called Lord of the harvest. What we sow, God will water, and a harvest will come. When you sow seeds in your children's life, God pours His Spirit upon it and a harvest will come. How do we plant seeds in our children's lives? Around the dinner table. While you're watching TV, driving in the car, sitting doing a puzzle. Comforting them when their goldfish dies. Being overly excited when the cat has 8 kittens in your bedroom cupboard. And about sharing the love and the graciousness and the generosity of God the Father. During this growing, we will need to make some corrections. Just because they're not aimed perfectly in a direction doesn't mean they will never get there. You know that the Apollo space missions, when they went to the moon, were only on course 2% of the time. They kept on having to make little corrections all the way along, but they got to the moon and they got back. And so in the lives of our children, we'll need to make little corrections all the time. Small little corrections, but they will get there in the end. When you take that cloth and you wipe that dirty little face, you're just wiping the dirt away from the facet of a diamond. That's all you're doing. They're precious. And they're a gift from God. And then you keep wiping that little face a little bit longer and then it turns into the face of a teenager. Your baby got bigger. And before your very eyes, they were transforming into an adult. Those simple do's and don'ts in childhood must now be interwoven with the whys and the hows and the reasoning from a godly perspective as they grow up. Where you used to stand in the door and call them in from play, you're now standing at the door and releasing them to drive away, generally in your car. But there's 4 things this year that are going to be repeated over and over and over again. And these 4 things are the bedrock of the teaching that's going to take place in the children's church. Number 1, God is always in a good mood. That's one of the things that we're going to be teaching the children. The character of God is that He, God the Father, loves His children. God's wrath is not out to get you when you stumble and fall. He's there to pick you up and to show you the way forward. And to love you and to comfort you. We don't have to go around trying to appease a God who's only happy with us when we do good. And our relationship with God the Father is the starting point. Not trying to earn His love. And then we come to understand and experience the character and the nature of God when we understand that He's not angry with us. Our motivation, our behavior change. Because it bores right down into self. And the children will be different. Secondly, we're going to remind them over and over again that Jesus' blood has paid for everything. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has paid the price. He paid the ransom for you and for me and for our children. And that now we can come into the very presence of God because of what Jesus has done. And when we believe Jesus Christ and accept Him as our Savior, the Scriptures say we put on Christ. So we have everything Jesus achieved, and we get everything God promised through His Son, because we put on Christ. And number 3, we're going to remind them again and again and again that they are special. God created them and He made no mistake. God knows them so well that He knows every single hair on their head. So when your son and your daughter come to you and they ask you whether God still knows you because you don't have any more hair on your head, dig deep and change the subject. I'm kidding, but children need to know that they're special and that God created them for a purpose. And His purposes in their life matter. And He cares for them individually. They're not a number. They're not just a name. They're a child of God. And number 4, we're going to remind them that nothing is impossible through God. And the best way to illustrate this point is a story that we were told at the conference. The church that had come across to share with us run a Sunday school on the street. So what they do is on a Sunday they take this trailer and they go to a park. They set up and they do Sunday school for all the children that are in the park. And that on this particular Sunday they were teaching the children about healing. And so they were talking about healing. And this is one guy, he was the teacher's name was Seth. And as Seth was teaching, he noticed there was a guy standing next to the trailer with this like bionic leg thing on his leg, you know. And he had asked him, he said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, I fell off my skateboard. I broke this. I twisted that. I snapped that." He said, "Whew, that, yeah, okay." And so he started carrying on teaching with the kids with healing. And at some stage, the moms had gathered. So Seth finished. He went off to chat to the moms. And while he was talking to the moms, he saw out the corner of his eye that he noticed some kids, some small kids who had just been on the teaching of healing, had gathered around the skateboard guy with the bionic leg. And so he didn't take much notice until a minute later. He saw the young guy with the bionic leg, no bone bionics, running around the park. He thought, "What's going on?" He looked around. There was the grid, the little pins and all the things lying on the ground. The skateboard guy's running around. The little kid's all smiling. They'd taken the lesson to heart. He told them that the word says, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. So when he wasn't concentrating, they lay hands on the sick and he was healed. Imagine that. You know, he was sharing about how the kids pray for the sick. He said, "It's not really complicated. They walk up to a person, they say, 'Lord, this is Joe. He has a sore back. Holy Spirit, come, heal him in Jesus' name. Amen.' And they walk off. The guy goes, 'Ooh, no pain in my back anymore.' Not complicated. Nothing is impossible through God. That's what we're going to teach them this year as well. You see, when we teach them nothing's impossible through God, they believe it. It's not complicated for a child. And so we've been saying in this church for a long time that we built this church for the next generation. And that's true, we have. This church is not only for us, it's also for the next generation. However, I want to add something else. Not only did we build this church for the next generation, but when we speak into our children, it's also for the next generation. When we speak the truths of God, it's also for the next generation. When we allow them to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, it's also for the next generation. Psalm 145 verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and declare your mighty acts. Joel 1 verse 3. Tell your children of it. Let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now dwells in you as well. You see, when we begin to speak the word of God into our children, it is also for the next generation. And so whether we speak the word of God and the truth of the scriptures to a class, a congregation, or into the heart of a single child, we're all the better for it generation after generation. And so I'm going to ask this year is that you contend with us as we contend for our children in this church. Let's set our hearts and our minds on purpose this year to see God break out in their lives from young to old. And together let's teach our children. Number one, God is in a good mood all the time. Number two, Jesus paid for everything with His blood. Number three, you are special and God knows you. And number four, nothing is impossible through God. I tell you that if we're going to do that this year with our children, watch carefully at what's going to happen in our children's lives. They are going to impact far and wide because of what we deposit into their lives this year. And so I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about Children's Church. I want to go and do something with those children. Not out of effort, but out of an excitement that I know that God is going to work in their lives. And that those children will never, ever be the same again. Whether you have children or don't have children, you have something to give. You have something to give. What dwells inside of you will dwell inside of those children. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to pray for our children this morning. And so, Father, we thank You. I thank You, Lord, for every child in this church. I thank You, Father, that the same Spirit that dwells within us as their parents Lord, dwells within them as our children. And we ask, Father, this year that You give us wisdom to guide and lead them in their encounters with an almighty God, an ever-loving Father. Pray, Father, that Your Spirit would flow from within us, would overflow within us. And that, Father, that our children would see the love of God manifest in our lives. Oh, Lord, that they would come to know You as a personal Savior. I thank You, Father, for every child. I thank You, Lord, for every parent represented here this morning. Lord, this year is not going to be like last year. Father, our children, and we prophesy this over our children are going to experience You like never before. I pray, Father, You take away distractions and hindrances and preconceptions. That, Lord, we would be open to receive from You and teach it to our children. We pray, Father, for Your hand to be upon our children. We pray, Lord, this year that You protect them. We pray, Father, they come to know You. Lord, that they come to tell of Your mighty deeds in the schools that they are in the playgroups that they are in. I pray, Father, for the people that will teach and lead in Children's Church. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would well up within them, overflow onto the children. But Lord, we pray and we ask for an outpouring of Your Spirit. And we give You thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's coffee, cappuccino, donuts, and we'll see you tonight. God bless. Thank You, Lord.